25 people apply to be Haines' new school superintendent, and news project Alaska Water Wars examines the Pebble Mine. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. Applications to be Haines' new school superintendent are in, and more than two dozen people are hoping to be chosen. 25 people applied to be Haines' new school superintendent. The application period closed on Monday. Applicants run the gamut, from a current school employee to a school psychologist in Wisconsin to a principal from Glen Allen and current superintendents across Alaska and the lower 48. One applicant wrote he'd been unable to sleep for weeks because he was so excited about applying for the job. Interim Superintendent Rich Carlson says the response was better than they'd expected. The district had been hoping to get around 15 applicants.
We have a number of people that have a good amount of Alaskan experience, and then we have some people from the lower 48 that have quite a bit of superintendent experience. So I think a combination of that, there are surprisingly some really good candidates.
The hiring process is new this year. Haines is conducting the search in-house rather than returning to the Alaska Association of School Boards superintendent search. That helped bring Tony Habra to Haines last year. Habra resigned a third of the way through his contract amid concerns about his job performance. This year, the school board and a designated search committee will review applications and whittle the list down to a group of their favorites. The school board will choose semifinalists.
So we'll end up with 5, 6, 7 people that will be interviewed via Skype on February 3rd. And then the board will go in executive session and determine the finalists that we'll bring in the last couple weeks in February.
The district plans to conduct site visits and in-person interviews for those top choices. They want to get a sense of the culture in candidates' current districts and how they'd fit in Haines.
Haines, like all small communities, has their own sort of ambiance, and a person has to be able to fit into that. And the good candidate will be somebody that can do that, and a good candidate is going to be somebody, hopefully, that's going to be around for a long time.
Carlson and the school board invite anyone interested to stop by the school to review applications. They're open to the public. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilper. Governor Bill Walker will give the annual State of the State address tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Alaska faces diminishing budget reserves, and the fiscal crisis may force the first ever permanent fund earnings draw to balance the budget. KHNS will broadcast the speech live through Gavel, Alaska, thanks to our collaborators at 360 North and KTOO in Juneau. The speech should last under an hour. The Skagway Assembly will meet tomorrow at 7 p.m. A memorandum of understanding with the White Pass Yukon Railroad Company will be on the agenda after the company disagreed with the Assembly on the proposed final version earlier this month. Assembly members will also discuss two proposals amending the city's budgets to include updated expenses. They include the costs of a new garbage truck, electrical engineering to upgrade the RV park, and flood control on the disc golf course. They'll also update money spent on computer support services and communications equipment for public safety. The assembly plans to review the Red Onion Saloon's liquor license and the design for an odor control program at the wastewater treatment plant. The second meeting of the month will be tomorrow evening at City Hall.
This is Alaska Water Wars, a news project sharing the stories of Alaska Native people and the prospect of large natural resource development projects coming to their homelands. This five-part series focuses on the Pebble Mine project near Bristol Bay. Dacia Eaton reports.
In 2014, the Environmental Protection Agency made it clear the Pebble Mine was too risky to move forward under the Clean Water Act. Now that the EPA is considering reversing itself, Canadian mining company Northern Dynasty plans to bring on a new investor for its Pebble partnership and to begin filing permit applications. And after years in court, EPA recently settled litigation with Pebble, removing another perceived barrier for the company. Robin Samuelson stands on a beach that President Barack Obama once visited and where a salmon famously spawned on the president's shoes.
We are on Kanaknak Beach. To the right is the Nishigak River, and that's where all the salmon go up and spawn.
How far are we from the Pebble Mine here?
Right up that way.
Dillingham is about 100 miles from the proposed Pebble Mine. Samuelson spent most of his life as a commercial fisherman. He says having President Obama visit the Southwest Alaska fishing town was a big deal. It felt like someone in Washington was finally listening to tribal concerns about development of Pebble Mine. Samuelson is Yupik, Alaska Native, and a chief for Chogyang Tribe. He was involved in tribes' request that the federal government step in.
Well, we the tribes petitioned the federal government for a 404C process.
That's the section of the Clean Water Act that authorizes EPA to deny or restrict the use of an area when it determines there will be unacceptable adverse effects on water. EPA in 2014 issued a proposed determination that a large mine like Pebble was too risky to move forward. Agency officials spent 3 years analyzing peer-reviewed scientific studies before issuing the proposal. But Pebble CEO Tom Collier says it's not about science.
This issue of process, of whether or not you get to file an application before EPA kills you, is not an issue of science. It's an issue of process.
Congress passed the Clean Water Act in 1972 to regulate discharge of pollutants into U.S. waters. EPA has started the 404C process 30 times, but only completed it 13 times. It's usually used once a project is in permitting. Collier says EPA's preemptive use of the act was wrong.
I thought it was just a colossal abuse of process, and we began a very elaborate multi-pronged strategy to convince EPA that that was a mistake.
The mining company filed 3 lawsuits in Alaska federal court. A judge gave Pebble a preliminary injunction on one of them. The injunction stopped the EPA from finalizing its proposal. Matt Newman with the Native American Rights Fund says Pebble's strategy was to run out the clock.
They did everything humanly possible under the rules of civil procedure in federal courts to delay moving forward in that lawsuit because they knew we have to get to an election. They ultimately achieved their goal to get past the Obama administration.
In May, Collier met with new EPA head Scott Pruitt. This summer, EPA began the reversal process. This fall, it held regional hearings in Dillingham and Illiamna to collect public testimony. Samuelson says he sees the debate over what the EPA did as the first fight in a longer battle.
I know now that if I died tomorrow, that the people of Bristol Bay, the younger people of Bristol Bay, will stand up and take them on.
And he says his people are ready for the next round. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eaton.
Next time on Alaska's Water Wars, hear from a Native leader grappling with the changes that mining could bring to her community.
The change that will come with a development of that size will affect all levels of our life.
Alaska Water Wars is a multimedia project produced by reporter Daisha Eaton and photographer Brian Adams. Funding for this project comes from the Alaska Humanities Forum in partnership with KMBA and Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. Learn more at alaskawaterwars.org or kmba.org.
For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Thanks for listening this evening.